coast to coast, border to border, and around the world. It's time for The Bill Alexander Show. The Bill Alexander Show is a guest-driven program where the topics are diverse and entertaining. Laugh and learn while you listen to one of the best hours of online radio. Now, here's your host, Bill Alexander.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show. Yours truly, Bill Alexander. Hope everything's going fine for you on this wonderful day. No matter when you're watching, no matter when you're listening, I'm glad you're able to be part of the program. Today on the show, I have an actress with me who sounds like she has two first names or two last names. I can't figure it out. But her name is Blanca Blanco. Blanca, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Bill. It's such an honor to be in your show. And definitely, you know, I hear great things about your show. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that. Now, I want to ask about your name because I've taken 4 years of Spanish in high school and don't remember any of it. But what does the word Blanco mean in Spanish?
White.
What does the word Blanca mean in Spanish?
White, female white.
So you're white is what your name is if we translate it.
Yes, extra white for Blanca Square.
That's kind of interesting. So Blanca, I'm so glad you're able to join us tonight. And when I knew you were going to be on the program, of course, I did what everybody does, as I went and looked you up on International Movie Database. And I was looking at these credits. You have one of the most impressive list of credits I think I've ever seen for someone at your age, because it seems like you've been doing multiple things, multiple movies every year for the last so many years.
Yes, I feel very blessed to be working a lot. And I've been in Los Angeles for 13 years. So I'm the first one in my family to be in the industry. So it's been a slow process, but I definitely feel that my strong work ethics, like I'm able to work in more movies. I get called from the same people I work with for other offers. So definitely I've been staying pretty busy.
So what made you want to go into acting? Because as I noticed, that you actually have degrees in psychology and social work, but acting is totally different than what your education is.
Yeah, so acting for me was a passion since I was a kid. I would do a lot of plays and scenes, and I just enjoyed the whole process of transformation. But I also, because of my background, growing up, experiences of severe poverty and discrimination, that's what Breaking the Mold is about, my book. But I knew that in order to break the cycle, I needed to be educated. So I wanted to have my education so I can have a strong foundation. And so when I finished my master's degree, I moved to Los Angeles. And so I just felt more prepared, like I was ready. But, you know, also psychology and social work is very handy in my industry because I'm able to work with different group dynamics, able to understand the systems. And then also I'm able to use that for developing my characters, like the psychology of my character, like what is the background. And so it comes in very handy. But yeah, I definitely did the longer, you know, it took longer for me to be in LA, but I feel more prepared.
Now, I want to talk about your book first, since you mentioned it. You said to me that you wrote the book during COVID because you really couldn't do anything else.
Yes. So I'm definitely an overachiever when it comes to accomplishing goals every day. And I have a to-do list, and I also have my goals for the week and for the year and for the next 5 years. So I'm definitely that type of person. And so when I was in lockdown, I thought, well, what can I do? I don't want to just be watching Netflix every day.
Right.
It's not that bad. They have great shows. But I just said, I need to, you know, finally, I can start working on my book. I wanted to write a book about my experiences growing up. And another thing, when I would be walking outside, I saw that there was more poverty, more abuse, more discrimination. And I thought, well, it's time to do my book because I want to share what worked for me as a child to be able to overcome all these hardships and still be able to do the things that I wanted to do despite not having any resources, and how I was able to use techniques and strategies to get through it. So that's what my book is about. It's about overcoming hardships, childhood hardships, and how that what helped me get by and get survive it.
So you were born in the United States and then went to Mexico. How many years did you live in Mexico?
So I lived in Mexico since I was 3 months old until I was 9.
And you are a family of 6, right?
We're seven.
Okay.
The first few chapters, it's only 6 kids.
Okay.
It's only six family members. We're only 5 kids total.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's one thing here, and I'm looking in the description. It talks about you had to live in a garage for 2 years.
Yes.
No hot running water, no heat. Weather was frigid, and you were living in Washington State at the time. What got you from Mexico to Washington?
Yeah, so when we went to Washington, it's because my father had a job opportunity there to work as a apple picker and as a migrant worker. And so that's why we went there. If you don't know about Lake Chelan, they're known for the apple industry. Mm-hmm. It's one of the top apples. And so that's why he began working. But yeah, it was definitely a journey, but I was very happy to see the snow, you know, because I always saw it on TV. But then we lived in the car garage for 2 years, because we couldn't afford to live anywhere else, but we still pay rent. But it was thin walls. Like, I would go to sleep wearing my coats and mm-hmm. 2 or 3 coats and pairs of gloves. And I would go to sleep early so I could get warm by the time I go to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting, and I can make a connection to this, because where I grew up at, we had a apple orchard near us, and we had migrant workers come in, and they would come to school with me in the spring and through the fall. And it was really interesting because you would only see them for short periods of time, because being migrant workers, they would move and then they would come back every so many years. So you made these connections with these people. This is not an easy life, is it?
No. And I know for us, we were very lucky as far as we stayed in the same town and, you know, forever. Like, we didn't move. That was the only time that we moved, that when we were going from the U.S. to Washington, and we stayed there. We still have family there. I mean, I graduated and went to college. Like, that was our foundation, our home, you know? I mean, not the garage, but like...
Right, no, I understand.
Yeah, Lake Chelan. And so I had friends that were migrant work, that were migrants also, and they moved every 6 months, and that was right. Hard because you see your friends and then they're gone.
So were you the first one in your family to go to college and graduate?
Yes.
Did any of your other siblings do it?
Yes, eventually all my siblings went to school and they all graduated and they earned degrees and are working in their careers that they want. So
That's interesting. Because how old were you when you were in the garage?
I was 9.
So you were in what, 3rd, 4th grade at the time?
Oh yeah, I was definitely in 3rd grade. Yeah.
So how was? I mean, I know this is hard to remember, but I like people to understand. How did people treat you at that age?
Well, like I share in Breaking the Mold, I did have experienced discrimination for being a migrant family, for being poor, for not speaking English well. We had language and cultural barriers, but we still went to school, mm-hmm. and, you know, trying to learn. But, you know, kids could be, you know, brutal.
Right.
And so I experienced bullying at a, you know, as a child as well. And so I definitely, it was definitely a process that the transition to go from Mexico to the U.S.
Mm-hmm. So, and then one other thing, and then we'll start talking about your acting career. You lost your mother while writing the book, correct?
Yes, I did. It happened so fast. And I helped take care of her a month before she passed away. And I was very, happy that I was able to help her at the end to accomplish her goals that she wanted to do before she would leave. So I helped her with that. It was very heartbreaking. And I share that in my book. I share about the loss and also the grief and how the steps that I took to be able to go from a few weeks of dealing with the loss and then having to go to do the responsibilities of work. And so I share like some of the tools that helped me, but it was definitely, no one prepares you to, for that moment. Like, I think that, now that I think about it, I'm just like, wow, and the thing, COVID happened, during that time. So we couldn't really travel much because right. of the rules. And then also none of us wanted to get our parents sick, Mm-hmm. And so they didn't die from COVID. They died from, she passed away from heart condition, but we still had to deal with the COVID thing because in the hospital, for example, even though after she was diagnosed terminal and she was given like 2 weeks, they wouldn't allow us to stay overnight with her. Well, I mean, I know not the whole family can stay, but like at least one person. And so because of COVID, so I had to advocate for my mom to make sure that she had at least one person in the hot,
right.
Because when you've been diagnosed terminal, the anxiety and depression happens more in the dark, in the night. So I wanted her to have some company there. And so I had to do a lot of, that type of work. I used my degree to navigate the system, and I was able to get my mom to get, have more support despite of the COVID. So, but I feel bad for the people that went through the COVID loss and you couldn't even have them a funeral.
Uh-huh.
We were able to.
With everything that you've gone through, has that helped you with your acting career?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because not every day, all the emotions, we have so many emotions, and characters are, basically what makes a character, 80% is emotions. So experiencing different type of emotional changes and even loss, all that you're able to use to, work on your character as well. So it helps you also, it's therapeutic too. Whenever, mm-hmm. when you do a scene with something that is similar, you're experiencing, and then you just feel like it's like almost you had a therapy session. Mm-hmm. It feels like that after you're done working. So it's just like, definitely very helpful. Like for me, I was able to use that as a way of coping.
So I'm going through your list of credits, and the first one shows 2008. You were in a piece called Dark Reel. You were Claudia, but you were not credited. And then you start going through this and you start noticing that you become a lead character. How did that transition happen over a period of time?
Well, when I first moved to Los Angeles, that was one of my first projects I booked. I was non-union at that time.
Okay.
And so, but I booked just a small role, and then eventually I was able to, it made my role bigger, and I ended up working more days. And so that same producer called me a couple years later for another movie. And then it just happened. It's a slow process, but I just continue with my auditions, with preparation, with taking workshops, and it just slowly but surely it happens. You start getting more and more work.
Are there certain roles that you like? Because I've noticed that you've worked with one actor recently by the name of John Savage, which some of us have seen some of his previous work. Do you like working with him?
Yes, I enjoy working with him because he's very passionate about his roles, and then he comes from a, you know, a process of finding it within you, like you start from with you, with your characters. So definitely I learned a lot from him with working with him.
So I also noticed, and again, this is one of the questions, because when I do research, I start looking at roles, and you did a TV series called Tale of Tales. You were Lola. When you took this job, did they tell you really what the character was about and what you were going to be wearing?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. And, you know, before I was playing, like, I done a lot of roles as a doctor, as a nurse. And
yeah,
I read the script, and I had some rules in my contract of things that I would not approve. And so we agreed, and I decided to take it because that character is such a complicated character, so much going on that I just thought it would be fun to create it.
And for those who don't know what it is, and you need to find this, because I watched a couple episodes. Blanca plays a stripper. I mean, it's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it going, okay. And then I got into the story. Now, when you did this in 2021, what did your family say? Because I always ask this question about from actresses who end up doing roles like this. Did the family say anything, or were they okay with it? How did that work?
No, my family, they were very supportive because they know that, you know, the characters that I do, there's some that it's like something that I have passion about. And really, my character was a dancer, but I really didn't dance. It was just like a couple,
right,
you know, shots. But my character was very key to, you know, solving this crime that happened on season one. So she is definitely like, I didn't, you know, feel like uncomfortable with it because I wasn't like the dancer. Like that was my role. I was a dancer, but really, like, I didn't do any of the stuff that actually the dancers do.
Yeah. And then I started looking at it, and I saw that one, and then I started looking at these other films that you're doing that seem more like they're meant for families to watch.
Oh yeah, I do, like, a lot of kids movies. That's why, like, I know you wonder, why did you do kids movies and you did this dancing? If you look at the dancing one, you will see the arc of my character, and then the story is based on true events. And I definitely, like, not something that I'm not proud of. I'm definitely proud. And the kids movies is great because I work in Europe, and it's nice to work with kids and dogs, everything, you know.
Because you did what, six children, one grandfather. You did what, Mission Possible, the Dog of Christmas, which you played a very interesting heiress who does not like animals whatsoever. But as I watch these, you say, I didn't realize this. You filmed these in Europe, you said.
Where? Oh, in Europe, yeah.
So why do they film there and not in the States?
It's just the production were different locations.
I mean, you're getting a trip out of the deal. Of course you'd rather go overseas. I can understand that. But you like doing that type of work where you're going out. How long are you on a set for when you're doing something like that?
About a couple of months.
Okay.
But even when you go for auditions, like, I don't really ask. Like, usually you know the location is somewhere, you know, but not until
right, of course,
all the details. But it's always, for me, it's a good experience to get to travel for free and be able to go to a different country. Like, I've done movies in Monaco, Italy, France, and here, like, and even Canada. I've done movies in Canada.
So of the movies you've done, do you have a favorite?
Well, it's kind of hard to find a favorite one because I love whenever I work on a character, I get so attached to the environment, like the people around me, the characters. But I was very, I did a movie, Betrayed, and I played the antagonist. And I won Best Supporting Actress for that role. And I had a really fun time developing that character. And it was my first role like that and first time winning an award.
And you were actually, the character's name was Melanie, correct?
Melanie, yes.
And it was, and then again, another film with John Savage in it. Yeah. So, and looking through it, I've read some stuff about it. It seems like it's a very good picture. Unfortunately, I haven't seen it yet, but you like being the antagonist? You like doing that type of work?
Well, that was my first time being the antagonist, and it was, I was very natural.
A lot of training is what you're saying.
Yeah. No, it was definitely, I enjoyed it. You know, as an actor, you're trained not to judge your characters. You go in, you cannot really think, oh, this is not socially acceptable. I should not be doing this. The character, you just got to develop the character and remove your judgment. So that's the way I look at my characters. I just, if it's a great script, and Betrayed was based on a true story. So human trafficking. So I thought that story needs to be out there. And so it's a strong female character. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to do it.
So I was going through the list of some of the things you've done and seen some of the actors that you worked with. And one of them, which you worked with, was Burt Young.
Oh, yeah.
Who has been everywhere when it comes to films, especially in the 80s. And most people know him for when he was in the, he was in MASH. He was in Chinatown. He was in, let's see, what else? Serpico. He was doing Rockford Files. He was doing all this stuff, and he was Rocky's brother-in-law, Polly. How was that working with, I could call him a legend in a film like, in films like that you've done with him.
Yeah, Bert, he was such a sweetheart. We worked in Monaco together, and that's where the first time I met him. And so he was just like the grandpa of the show, and he's very, specific with, certain actors that he might enjoy more of the company than the others. But he was very, very nice to me and to, the producers. And he was just a pro. I mean, he just showed up and ready to go. And I learned a lot from him. And I always, when I work with people that are, very obviously iconic like he is, I always, ask them any advice they have for like newcomers, like for me, and they're always happy to share, because he's like a grandpa, like all the things that I can do and the things that I'm doing right. Like, he's just like very likes to share his knowledge.
Because I to me, if I was on the set with him and realized he was there, I would be falling all over myself, because I'm much older than you are. And I remember his list of things that he was in, because again, he's one of these guys that he was in everything during a 20, 25 year times frame, which again is amazing that you had the opportunity to work with him. Is there other than him, is there actors that you've worked with that have really impressed you other than John Savage or Burt Young?
Yeah, I mean, I have worked with amazing actresses and actors, and I just, I can't really think of, I mean, I did a movie with Sally Kirkland, and she she's a pro. She's been also my acting teacher for many years. And so, it's just nice to work with people that are, their acting is very, like real, it's not too, like the way that they are able to get to the character is like innate, it comes from within. And Sally Kirkland is like that. She's always like, she's been mentoring me for many years. any questions I have. She's always very, you know, she loves to share her knowledge and experience.
So you've worked with kids and you've worked with dogs. Yes. I've always heard never work with kids and never work with dogs. Do you have that problem?
No, because the kids, they were well behaved, but they do have short term, and you know, like their energy is like,
right.
Yeah. But I'm, you know, that's, you know, that from kids, that's not a new thing. But you know, dogs, I didn't like the, it's amazing. Like the dogs were so well behaved. Uh-huh. They did better than the kids. Yeah, for real. And then they have like their, you know, their assistant for the dogs.
Right.
So when after each take, they will just take the dogs. And so they were not like, you know, dogs that are just like barking. Like they were like so professional. I was impressed.
So there is a scene, and I, like I said, I've seen so many of what you, a dog for Christmas, or the dog of Christmas, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And there, is it chocolate pudding that gets thrown on you?
Yeah, it's chocolate pudding.
And how many takes did it take to get it just right?
No, and you know what the worst part was? It was like super cold. When we did that scene, it was super cold. And I was just, that day, it was just me and I, you know, no more scenes with the kids. It was just me. And it was a big production, but I had just gone from the doctor because I had a high fever.
Okay.
And so I had a fever when I did the scene. But I didn't want to miss work. And, you know, back then you don't have the COVID, you know, like.
Right, right.
So it's like, now you can't do that, stuff like that. So I went there because, you know, I got some medication. I was feeling better. But we did like maybe like 10 takes of the chocolate thrown in my face. And it was super cold. And I have a, you know, a little dress. And so yeah, it was very interesting.
Yeah, because I couldn't imagine if it was more than one take getting cleaned up every time.
Yeah, that's why it took longer, the clean up, and then also the wardrobe, because
I was going to say, how many of those dresses did they have?
They had a few, but a couple times I got lucky and we get the same.
Okay.
But yeah, it's definitely like so many, you look at so many layers, I guess, to make that, and I'm like, okay. We got it. We finally got it, you know.
So I will ask you, because that would be considered one. Do you do your own stunts? You couldn't have asked a stand-in come in for the chocolate pudding or anything?
Oh yes. They do have they do have that, but you know, I really didn't mind that. Like,
okay.
It was like, you know, nothing, you know. But in the beginning, when I started acting, I would do my own stunts. I would like, you know, you just do what, but now it's like certain projects, you know, they have like the stunt, but for this, the chocolate thing, really, it was not a big deal for me. Like, it's like, no, I can handle it.
So I'm looking through this. You have one that came out called The Downside of Bliss, and you're playing a social worker in that. With your education background, did it pretty much get you in character for that role, since you do have a background in that?
Yes, it definitely did, because I was able to, when I was working on my character, I, you know, normally I research like what is their typical day, what, you know, what this requires, what, you know, personalities. And I did that for four years, and I have a master's degree in that, so I was able to use my background, and that was like, you know, it was fun, you know, like, oh, okay, it's coming in, I'm able to use it, you know.
So you were a social worker for 4 years?
Yeah, I work as a hospice social worker in LA for 4 years.
And was there a reason why you left, or you just wanted to follow the passion of acting?
No, I went to LA to pursue acting, but in the beginning, the reality is it takes time for you to start having steady income and to join the union. And most of the time, people that come to LA, they go into waitressing or they do side jobs because you know it takes a while. So right. I think, well, I'm gonna use my degree so that way I can have, you know, like some income, steady income, and because I still have to pay for, you know, acting classes, everything right. I do. So that's why I did it, and I did it for 4 years. Then so, I joined the union, and it was, you know.
So I'm looking at this, and there's a couple things that say TV series. Are they running on TV, or are they done in an episodic way that would be done like TV that stream online?
Oh, yeah. I've done a few films that were TV films, like on Lifetime, Sci-Fi.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting, because I didn't realize this, because you have one coming out that's in post-production right now called Ember. And is it done as a movie for TV, or is it done as a episodic?
You know, I'm not sure how they're going to do that production side, but I can tell you that it's probably going to be episodic.
Oh, like, really?
I don't want to, you know, speak something that I don't have information, but it was fun working on that project. My character had special powers, so like the a lot of CGI special effects on the eyes, and then it was fun, and we're probably gonna be shooting more of that, so I think it's gonna be episodic.
Interesting. So if you had the choice to do TV or film, which one would you rather do?
You know,
and if it was going to be over a period of time. So say you were on a TV series, would you rather do that, or would you rather just do one movie every year, every 2 years?
You know, I just like making characters. And for me, like, it would be nice to just go to one place. Like, I just go to the studio every Monday through Friday or whatever the schedule is. But then, you know, the good things about doing films, you're in different areas every time. And it's like a new thing. So I'm open. I love TV and I love film. So whatever, as long as I like the character, I enjoy it.
So what would you rather do? Comedy, drama?
I like suspense, drama.
Drama. Why is that?
Because it's so different for me. Like, I am more of a calm person, and I try to be very, you know, like I'm like the mom of my group of friends, you know, like always, like they come to me or the counselor, you know. So yeah, and so I you know, I like to help people, and so I just feel that drama, it's like so different for me, and so it's just fun. It's more complicated, more complex, and so I really enjoy the whole process of creating that.
What about soap operas? Because for some reason, I could see you doing one of those.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with soap operas. I mean, it's, you know, like I say, it's all about the story or
the character, yeah.
So yeah, I haven't done a soap opera, but yeah, I'm open to it.
Of all the characters you've done, is there any one that you like more than another, or are there ones that you wish you wouldn't have done?
No, I think every experience, you grow from it. So I will not like diminish that. So I just love all the characters that I do. I don't have any regrets so far.
Well, that's good. also, there's another thing too, and I've noticed this, and I didn't know, and I'll ask you, but there's a couple things that you've done that say they're shorts.
Yeah.
Are they short films is what they're referencing to them as?
Yeah, they're short films. And, you know, when I first moved to LA, like, I need to get experience. I need to have just like, you know, like, you know, basically more in my resume. And so I did more short films in the beginning. And then, you know, with time, like, you will have a friend that will say, hey, I'm doing a short film for this, and I will like be okay, sure, I will do it. So it's just like personal projects as I'm older, you know. If I do a short film, which is rare, but if I do, it's usually a friend that I'm like, okay, I will support you.
So I've seen there, you have one writing credit for a mini movie. Do you like writing, or would you rather have someone else write the words for you?
No, I don't really. I mean, I obviously wrote a book, but I'm not a screenwriter.
Okay.
That was just like a special project that I did with my friend.
Okay. Because I was just curious about that, because I've of other people that I've talked to, some say they would rather write than they would rather act, but they still do both.
Oh, no. Yeah. My main focus is acting for me. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything big coming up on the horizons?
Well, I have Eye for Eye, which is a Western, is coming out this year. I don't know what day. A lot of things got really slow with, you know, COVID. So sometime this year it will be, and it takes place in 1800s. And it was a fun character to make. And I worked in the summer in Montana.
Oh, okay. So doing a Western like that, how long did it take you to film it?
I was just there for a month. It was quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you enjoy.
I worked pretty much, you know, like Monday through Friday, and had a couple days off or one day off. So long hours, like, you know, 12-hour days. So I was there, and then so it kind of worked out, you know, because then after I finished, that's when I was able to go and stay in Washington for a few months.
Okay. So with everything you've done and everything you are about to do, because again, I see you have Harnessing the Rain that was just announced that you're going to be in. You have, Spycosix, which is another one that you are going to be in. Finding Nicole, which is pre-production. Ember and Eye for Eye are in post-production. You have a lot of work coming up. How are you able to separate these things to be able to do them?
Just taking one day at a time.
Yes.
It just takes a lot of planning, a lot of organizing. And the thing is, a lot of things have changed with COVID. A lot of the schedule has changed. So, but usually I try to, that's the way it happens. Like you might not have anything for 2 months, and then you have like three movies at the same time.
Okay.
And you have to just schedule it. And, you know, the schedule will change with time, but I don't stress about it anymore, because in the beginning I would be so stressed, like, oh my God, like, what am I going to do? How is that going to work? And then you realize everything works out.
So how many auditions do you go on? On average?
Well, before the pandemic?
Before the pandemic.
I would do a lot of self-tapes and also a few, you know, in person. But I think I was doing maybe like 8 a week.
Wow. And how many of those did you actually get phone calls from?
So, see, you could go to 10 auditions and maybe get one call back. It's like the chances of you getting the casting, it's very low. Okay. So that's why you just got to keep going to auditions as much as you can, because eventually you're going to book something. So like, I know that, you know, I tend to get a lot of callbacks.
Okay.
So that's, you know, with time, so many auditions I've done, that it's just like, now I'm in that category of, you know, I get called back. I go to the studios and everything. So I'm heading the right direction to even get even more bookings, but I've been booking a lot anyways, but it's like when it gets to the point where I'm at the level where I'm booking like all the time, then I will wonder how I'm going to do the bookings, you know, like the schedules.
Right. So we talked about your movie career. We talked about your book. Another question for you about the book is, are you planning on writing another one, or was that just one and done?
I've been thinking about it. I've been getting a lot of great responses from people, and I feel that that book could have a sequel. Okay. I want to make it into a movie or a film.
Oh, okay.
I feel that I think it will be a strong one, because it covers so much. It covers so many areas that the people can relate nowadays. And so that's, maybe I will, you know, consider doing that.
So you are, and I consider a young actress doing this. What advice would you have for someone younger than you wanting to get started?
Well, the first advice is, like, when you come to LA, and if you don't have any family in the industry, don't get discouraged. It just means that you just got to learn how to navigate the system. And also, you just have to work harder. And with time, you start meeting people, the right people that you can have, that have your back, you know, that are part of your circle. And you can, you know, it just takes time for that, because there's a lot of people that they're not nice in Los Angeles. Like, when I first moved, I met a lot of crazy people in LA, and I'm like, what, this is totally like not my style, like very superficial people. And I thought, well, I guess it will take time until I find the right people, because yeah, I moved here with no family, nobody, like, it's just me. And I couldn't, it just takes a while to meet the right people. And, you know, don't get discouraged. You just have to work harder if you don't have any family.
And with everything we've talked about, is there anything that I missed that you would like to share?
No, just, you know, about breaking the mold. One of the messages I wanted to share is that, you know, challenges make us stronger, not weaker. So that's something that maybe if I could just, you know, give a message to someone, is that we grow from experiences. So it is definitely a positive way to look at traumas, when we look at traumas.
Well, Blanca, thank you very much for joining me. This was a total pleasure. And I'd love to have you back on the show again sometime in the future, so we can talk more about what you're working on and how far your career is going, because I wish you the best of luck. And again, your list of credits is amazing for just the short period of time that you've been doing this. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. A big thank you goes out to Blanca Blanco for joining me. I really appreciate it. Had a great time talking to her. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. So thank you, everybody, for watching The Bill Alexander Show. I really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Bill Alexander Show. The Bill Alexander Show is a $1 Million Baby production. For more information, go to thebillalexandershow.com.